Fads come and go, and nowhere more than in the world of weight loss. That's why Noom's weight management programs are made to last. Noom uses science and personalization to help you manage your weight for the long term. Their psychology-based approach helps you build better habits and behaviors that are easier to maintain. The best part? You decide how Noom fits into your life, not the other way around. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's N-O-O-M.com to sign up for your trial today.
Before we get started with this episode of Bench with Bubba, I wanted to talk to you about RotoBaller.com. Win big in 2022 with RotoBaller.com's MLB and DFS Premium Pass, which includes 15 exclusive lineup tools, daily DFS cheat sheets, and our new Team Sync platform. Use RotoBaller's exclusive hitter projections, pitching planners, DFS value displays, research stations, lineup optimizer, and more to help you win big. For a limited time, get your MLB Premium Pass for an extra 10% off with your discount code Bubba, B-U-B-B-A. Just visit rotoballer.com, use promo code Bubba, B-U-B-B-A for 10% off the Premium Pass for the MLB season, and get started to rotoballing like a boss. Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bubba and the Bat Flip, episode 135, coming back to recap the week 23 of NFBC Fab, as we love to do for all you lovely listeners out there, as the season's winding down. We got about a month to go here. It's going to be a lot of fun. We were talking a bunch off air about some things that might take place. We'll probably talk about it throughout this show and the next few episodes. But beforehand, I'm on Twitter at BDintric, and my co-host is always on Twitter at BatFlipCrazy. Toby, how we doing, man?
We're doing great, Bubba. It's been a good week so far, you know, just... We got four more weeks, like pretty much, to go. So time's running out. In some instances, it feels really good. In some instances, it feels really bad. You know, it's going to be the end of the season, and some of your teams you wish you had a week longer, and other teams you're just going to be glad it's over. So yeah. I'm enjoying it right now and trying to do what we can, you know?
Yeah, I definitely have some of those leagues right now. Where it's like some of them are just like, nope, what's done is done. But then there's other ones I'm like, let's keep seeing where this battle goes and see what happens. So I'm kind of torn on some of those. But yeah, it's going to be over before we know it, which is crazy. But football starts up this week. So I can't wait to tell you about some of the Fab results in some of my 12-team leagues, because literally, you know, the league I keep telling like is asleep at the wheel. Oh, this one was very asleep at the wheel this week. I can't wait, man, to tell you a player I got for $1. Just gonna throw that one out there. So it just made me laugh. I'm like, because I had like barely any money in that league, and I'm like, oh my goodness. So that's why I always show people, put bids in. You never know. You never know what's gonna happen. We'll talk about that soon enough as football is ramping up and it's gonna take over the world and Twitter and all kinds of other fun stuff pretty soon. But let's get into the Fab. Let's get into the fun part of Fab, where it gets even more important. There's a couple 9-game weeks coming up next week, if you want to look into that. There's a couple 8-game weeks this week. It's a lot of strategy taking place now, dropping guys that are just questionable and making it rock and roll. And then, like usual, this year has been full of prospect call-ups, Toby. Lots and lots of prospect call-ups. So let's start with the big one. We've been waiting for it for a long time. That's Corbin Carroll of the Arizona Diamondbacks, power speed guy. You know, put up in the minor leagues in Double A, 16 homers, 20 steals, hit .313. In Triple A, 7 homers, 11 steals, hit .287. Very, very talented ball player. Kind of a slow start, but we've seen the speed in full force when he's on the bases out there. Like, he's a talent. There's no doubt in it, and he should get plenty of run down the stretch here. He got picked up in 186 leagues, all 12-team leagues, as high as 601, as low as a dollar. So someone had all their money to spend. What's your thoughts on Corbin Carroll?
Yeah, he was towards the top of my list in quite a few places. I did not get him anywhere. I lost out 39-39 on a bid for him in my super, which I'm actually kind of happy about, you know, not like because I didn't get him, I'm happy about it. Let's be very clear, first of all. But second of all, you know, I'm a big fan of like being able to get a lot of guys at this point in time and just kind of mix and match. But Carroll, like, he's a difference maker. Like you mentioned, I think the reason why I liked him kind of straight up more than Gunnar Henderson was the speed. You know, the speed is definitely a difference maker. And then the low K rate. I know that he was projected for like, you know, a slightly higher K rate than Henderson. And maybe I'm just foolish. And you know, now that I'm looking at their metrics really closely, but yeah, I mean, Carroll, like there's a couple of things going on. Number one, he's really fast. So the speed is something. The power, you know, although his max EV is still that 104.8, that 440 foot bomb he hit that didn't end up being a home run. That's his one barrel that he's got.
The only
so
ballpark,
far.
The only ballpark it wouldn't have gone out in. Thank you, home stadium.
Yeah, totally. So yeah, and there was a, you know, I wasn't super aggressive. Part of that was also because, you know, the D-backs had been on record as saying that they wanted to preserve his rookie eligibility. And so I'm not sure how much of a factor that's going to be, but is enough of a factor so that I kind of ramped down my bids a little bit. So I wasn't overly aggressive, but I do like the speed, the power potential. Hitting in the middle of the lineup, you know, is also really nice there. And again, like, you know, I'm a broken record, but this last 4 weeks of the season, like the best hitter in baseball can be bad over 4 weeks. The worst hitter in baseball can be good over the 4 weeks. You obviously have a better chance if you've got the really good hitter, but you're just hoping to catch lightning in a bottle with these guys. And so Carroll, we'll see what ends up happening, you know, with him, but I can definitely see why there was so much intrigue around him.
Yeah, no doubt about it. The power, the speed, it's going to be interesting how they play it out. Like they say he's going to play most of the time. You got Jake McCarthy, who's crushing it. 11 steals since the All-Star break. He's been a great fab acquisition for those that took that that price. Alec Thomas has been good and great. He's been some up and downs there, but then you got Varsho in the outfield who went deep right before we recorded.
Yeah, he did, Bubba.
It's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing.
And McCarthy's on first base right now with a base open.
So that means another stolen base might be coming up. Yep.
I mean, I don't want to jinx anything.
These D-backs, man, just because they're on a bad team doesn't mean they can't be fantasy relevant down the stretch here. So Carroll, very solid ball player, regular playing time. I wouldn't be shocked if he puts up three or four home runs and gets you 5-6 steals down the stretch here. He's that talented once he gets comfortable and we start getting worse pitching coming up here down the stretch. Like he might find a groove here to have some fun. So I like the acquisition quite a bit. And to me, the next guy we're going to talk about is Gunnar Henderson, of course, picked up in 186 leagues. He was picked. This was funny to me because in a lot of my leagues, he went for more and he went for as high as 8-11 in one league, which tells you once again, people had money left over because they were asleep at the wheel. But to me, it came down to, do you take the infielder or the outfielder? What does your team need? Because Henderson's a beast, too. He's hitting .290 with a home run already this year. In the minors, he had a total of 19 homers, 22 steals. And one of the beautiful things is the Orioles are playing him all over the infield, second, third, and short. So it might be too late to get a lot of eligibility, but it's one of those things that's going to help out in a big way if he can sneak in a couple extra spots down the stretch here with a very talented bat.
Yeah, for sure. And the reason why I was saying like, oh man, I'm so wrong on the difference between Henderson and Carroll was that Henderson actually has the lower projected strikeout rate and he has a higher contact rate so far by 7%. So I look like a fool for saying that. Henderson, you know, the profile looks good, a really nice O swing, 27% contact rate is higher. Quality of contact isn't quite there. He does have a 107.1 max EV, only one barrel and 21 batted ball events. You know, on Fangraphs, a 19% hard hit rate. I know it's at 42.9% on Fangraphs. Both him and Carroll have pretty high ground ball rates so far, so it'll be interesting to see what happens there. You know, a lot of times when guys come up from the minors, they can struggle with elevating the ball because, you know, pitchers are just better. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, but I can definitely, again, see why people were interested in him. I think for him and Carroll, they were so close. It was just a matter of whether like outfield or middle infield made the most sense for you. I had Henderson on the top of some lines, Carroll on the top of some lines, where it was either or I had Carroll above, but can definitely see Henderson. And he seems to be getting like the full run, right? I don't know if he's sat since he since he came up. And so for me, you know, that's intriguing, and they're in the playoff chase, so they're not going to kind of mess around with him too much. So can definitely see the interest in Henderson as well. And I wasn't super aggressive on him, but I was decently aggressive. Okay. Yeah, check this out. Jake McCarthy stole. Oh,
on call. Like that, you couldn't have planned that one any better right there. As we were talking, we set it up on a tee for everybody, and then boom, he goes and gets it done. What a beautiful, beautiful thing. Jake McCarthy, you legend. God.
And meanwhile, love that, man. Meanwhile, Kyle Wright spotted 9 runs against the A's, and he's getting yanked with the bases loaded and nobody out in the 5th inning.
Jeez. So no win and probably more runs going on the docket. Fun times.
Unreal, fun times.
Oh, well, we'll see how that one ends up for Kyle Wright, but I'm not thinking it's going to be as great as fantasy managers would like, especially without the dub coming their way.
I want to cry.
Well, we'll save it till later. We'll get there. Long show to go. Next up is Jimmy Herget, which is an interesting name because it took me some digging into over the last week to be like, oh, this guy's actually relevant. Picked up in the 92 leagues as high as $57. He is the current closer for the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. Picked up 3 saves last week. Since he came back from the IL on August 2nd, he has 4 saves, 1 hold, 19 Ks over 18 a third with a 0.49 ERA. Got some pretty good stuff. Still 7 walks, so there's a little bit of this and that going on. But overall, in a weird bullpen that is the Angels, he seems like their best option. He's been pretty good when they have it to win. So what's your thoughts on Jimmy?
Yeah, I was super aggressive on him. I mean, aggressive, relatively speaking. I got him in every single league, I think. Yeah, I mean, Herget's interesting. He's been, you know, he 2 weeks ago, I actually had him, I think, 4th or 5th on my line for closers. And I didn't get him anywhere. And I was so pissed when he got those 3 saves, especially being an Iglesias, a guy who had Iglesias, you know, that didn't work out. But yeah, for Herget, I mean, the stuff's all right, you know, nothing too out of the ordinary. 18.7% K minus walk, you know, 10.6 swinging strike, 33.3 on the O swing. He's not dominating people in the zone by any stretch of the imagination, but throughout his career, he's kept the home runs low, which is good. And he's kept that walk rate, at least recently, low in the past 2 seasons, which is only granted 72 innings pitched, but you know, 5.1% and 6.1%. So he's not walking guys. The BABIP's a little low, so you worry about some regression happening there. Although the ground ball rate is kind of low, so maybe that BABIP can stay a little bit low. Let me take a look at what he's been doing recently. We'll just take a look at the last 15. He seems to be having one of those seasons, knock on wood, and I probably shouldn't say this, but one of these seasons where you just manage to, like, every jam he gets in, he just kind of manages to get out of it a little bit. So I'm probably ruining that. But yeah, O swing up at 35% over his last 15, K rate at 25.3, swinging strike at 11.6. So he's gotten slightly better recently, although the walk rate has also increased. So yeah, I mean, he's interesting. He seemed like the one guy that was, like, definitely the closer, and the Angels have a great, I mean, I don't know about the rest of the schedule, but this week, I mean, they've got 3 against Detroit and 3 against the Royals. So you got to assume that they're going to win at least 2 of those games, and hopefully it's going to be close. So,
yeah, I'm with you on that. And you made a great point there that out of all the spec guys that we do every single week, he at least this week felt like the guy that has the job, which you haven't seen with, like, even like we'll get to the Monteros, the Nick Martinez's and those guys. There's still like a shadow kind of overlooking them that could swoop in at any moment, where at least Jimmy's got like the role for now. So like he has to lose it type thing, which could be different in other situations. So I'm with you there. I put some bids in, didn't get them. I wasn't super aggressive on the save market, but if you needed it, I understood it. Like you said, 6 great games this week. And that is the name game going forward here, is finding matchups, finding the better scenarios, and take your chances there, because you have to set yourself up for the best level of success. And it's a chess game right now. We're 3D chess right now. So have fun with this one. Keston Hira picked up in 92 leagues. It's as high as $69. The Brewers have 8 games this week, including 3 to kick off the week in Coors Field. And since he got recalled in early August, he's hitting 54 with 6 home runs, a stolen base. And I'm going to say this tongue in cheek, only striking out 36% of the time. That's good for Keston Hira standards.
I mean, damn.
So, yeah. So he's hitting power. He's hitting for average for Keston Hira, and he's playing kind of regularly. So I get it. I get it this week. And I've been anxious for quite some time, Toby.
What's that? Sorry, you broke up a little bit.
I've been anti-Keston here for quite some time. So I understand the move now, though. It made total sense.
Yeah, you know, he was really interesting because he was available not in any of my mains or my bigger leagues, but in like in TGFBI and some other places. And I was making the argument that I'd actually rather have him than Carroll or Gunderson. And my reason for that was that, you know, if you were to like compare them, it's like, I think Kira pretty easily wins the home run total, right? Like, let's say down the stretch, you know, even when you look at projections, Kira's at 4, Carroll and Gunderson are at like 2 or 3, you know, even the steals. I mean, with 5 steals, like Carroll hasn't attempted a steal yet. And he's had like, I think like 5 or 6 opportunities at this point. Henderson does have one. But maybe steals and maybe power. And then you're looking at batting average and it's like, that could go either way over 4 weeks. Right. And he was getting run. He played in 6 straight for the Brewers. He sat on Monday, but he's back in the lineup today, against a righty. And so I think he's kind of earned that playing time. And like you mentioned, I mean, if you look over his last 40 games, I mean, it's pretty ludicrous. His strikeout rate is at 41.4%. But it's weird because his contact rates are way up. And so he was actually like averaging close to 50% for a while there. But like, yeah, it's just fascinating. So like definitely something seems to have changed for him. But yeah, it's interesting. I'd love to like, so when did he come up? When did he come back up? It's actually only been 26 games, huh? It's only been 26 games since he,
yeah, it's not been
since
that
he
long
came
long.
Up, I think. Let's see.
Yep. We came up like early right. August.
Since he came up. Yeah. Yeah, man. So he's got six bombs, 1 steal. Like you mentioned, the 36.1% K rate. Yeah, 132 WRC plus. I mean, he's also got like, his BABIP's only 314 over that period of time. Yeah, so I was pretty aggressive with him. I had him like right under Carroll and Henderson. I got him for like 7.
When it comes to weight management, we tend to put our focus on what we eat. But Noom's approach puts the focus on why we eat. And that's a game changer. Noom uses science and personalization so you can manage your weight for the long term. Their psychology-based approach helps you build better habits and behaviors that are easier to maintain. And they help you understand the science behind your eating choices and why you have those cravings. Noom's personalized courses are easy to follow and will help grow your confidence with tools you can put into practice on day one. The best part? You decide how Noom fits into your life, not the other way around. And based on a sample of 4,272 Noomers, 98% say Noom helps change their habits and behaviors for good. Try Noom today and see the results for yourself. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com to sign up for your trial today.
Your mic is up. There you go.
I'm back. So anyways, this is all to say I really like him, and he has such, I mean, the Brewers, we'll talk about it when we get to my fab, but I picked up every Brewer I could this weekend because of the you got 3 at Coors, yep, and you got the 2 against the Giants, and I think it's Junis, and
the Giants pitching is atrocious right now.
Yeah, and then you've got some other bad team, right?
Yeah, they got a great schedule. Phenomenal schedule.
Yeah, they got an amazing schedule.
I think it's the Reds, I want to say, but I could be wrong. I'll check it out while you're talking.
Yeah, I'll check it out. Yeah, it's the Reds. Oh my God. Yeah, like if you looked at like Razzball's like week, like Monday through Thursday, the half of the Brewers were $50 plus players over the first half of the week. I mean, it's just unbelievable. So that's all to say, I really liked Hura. I picked him up in a few places where he was available. Was pretty aggressive.
He likes hearing it. He really likes the Brewers. Next up on the docket, though, Carlos Carrasco. This one surprised me, just the fact he's available in so many leagues. Picked up in 70 leagues as high as $51. A lot of that happened because, you know, the injury thought it was worse, wasn't going to come back, so on and so forth. You had to make your moves. Comes back, and in his return through 2 2/3, gave up 5 runs, only 1 earned, but only struck out 2 against the Washington Nationals, a team you would look to take advantage of. So what do you think with this Carrasco pick? I see the appeal, but it still kind of hasn't really come to fruition yet this year.
Yeah, you know, there's like the Carrasco ideal, the ideal of Carrasco, and then there's actual Carlos Carrasco. The ERA has managed to stay relatively good despite the WHIP being, you know, pretty atrocious. I mean, 1.33, I think, over the course of the full season. Yeah, you know, just looking at him, I mean, even recently, though, he's been good. 16% swinging strike rate over his last 5, 6.6 walk, 23.6% strikeout. I mean, I think one of the things is that elite strikeout rate has really not come back since he was injured and out. And so, and he's always given up pretty hard contact. And so I think that's just not a great combination. And so obviously he's better than a lot of everybody else that's out there on the waiver wire, but I don't think he's by any stretch of the imagination a perfect player. So, you know, again, maybe some lack of luck with that 3.36 BABIP, but he's been there before in previous seasons. So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like, I see the appeal. I get the upside. It's just, it was tough for me to go too crazy on the bidding when there's other things going on this week with the waiver wire. But if he could get going, if anybody could put up a potential big week, it's him. We've seen it done before. But it seems like there's other guys I'd rather take a chance on, especially next week's Fab. There's some young guns that are coming up that should be fun as well. Kyle Bradish is the next one on the list for the Baltimore Orioles. Picked up in 60 leagues, as high as $18. He's pitching very well, but tonight, 3 innings, 6 hits, 3 runs, 2 walks, 3 Ks. Not what people had in mind. Coming off back-to-back, 15 innings, no runs, 11 Ks in his last 2 starts. Been very, very strong, but a rough one for Bradish this time around. I put in some small bids on Bradish. I wasn't super aggressive on Bradish, but I know there's a lot of smart people that really liked Kyle Bradish, Toby. So what are your thoughts on Kyle Bradish off the waiver wire this week?
Yeah, I'm just commiserating Chad Pinder hitting a grand slam. So eight earned runs for Kyle Wright.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah, that one's gonna hurt right there. I mean, ouch. I don't have many in any huge leagues, I don't think, but that's freaking painful. I do have him in one huge league, but he's not like scattered throughout, I don't think. I don't know. Maybe I'm scared. Yeah, I mean, Bradish has, there was a little bit of an article about him, about how he changed his, his arm angle or something like that. And his velo was up a little bit, and that had coincided with some success. But even when I look at, him, honestly, like, I'm not really super, even though over the last 5, I'm not super intrigued at all.
That's kind of my thoughts, though. Like, everyone was all, like, some really smart people were all in, and I was kind of like, what are we seeing here? Didn't we do this with some other Orioles pitchers already this year?
Yeah, I'm not sure what's happening, though, here. He's, for some reason, the velocity is not showing up on the rolling average graph, so I can't see how much better or worse he's, I guess he throws a cutter is his main pitch. Yeah, the velo's up. It says it's a cutter. It says it's a 95 mile per hour cutter, which would be certainly interesting. So up over its last little bit, but still the Z contact's not great. O swing's not great. Swinging strike rate's not great. You know, K rate is not great. Like, everything's below average. So yeah, I mean, he got blown up today. This doesn't even count today. So maybe a glimmer of hope there for a little bit, but not anymore.
Yeah, that's kind of, I saw the appeal a bit, but I was kind of also like, is this just a hot run? Did he get some good matchups? The things just, I don't know. I was kind of torn. They placed, wasn't it Toronto today they were facing? That seems like a bold one to go take that claim on. Because you're talking about, you mentioned it in the intro, you're talking about, you know, some of the better hitters might have down months to get you. Well, Bobichla reminding people how good he is right now, just crushing everything. So it goes both ways. And that's why I was kind of like, as kind of frustrating as the Jays offense has been this year, they're still very potent. And I was not going to get in line with that. That was just my two cents on that one.
Yeah.
Jose Suarez, this is a guy I picked up a while ago. I've been rolling this dude for quite some time. He was picked up in 59 leagues, as high as $17, as low as one. If we want to get real picky here, since the All-Star break, July 26th, Jose Suarez has been pretty good. He's made seven starts, given up a total of 8 runs in 41 innings, striking out 39, picked up 5 Ws, which is pretty impressive if you really want to start talking about it. Coming off an absolute gem against Detroit, which you'd expect his last time out. But he's basically 5 or more Ks in his last 6 starts, putting in the work, limiting the damage. I love what I'm from Jose Suarez. So this is a big one. I thought people should have been more aggressive on Suarez than some other options this week.
Yeah. I mean, I picked him up like maybe 10 weeks ago or something like that, for once. But I dropped him. So kudos to you for sticking with him. I mean, like his last 5 games, 38% O swing. That's fantastic. 26.1% K rate. Walk rate is at 5%, which is so big for him because, you know, he's at around 9% for over the last 2 years, 12.5% swinging strike rate. I mean, that's really, really good. Super impressive. Let's see. Let me just see like if he's got like a velocity bump, like maybe a little bit recently, but nothing too crazy. Let's see. He's got it's a changeup that's his best pitch, right? 23% change. Let's see. Curve. He's trying to see. He stopped throwing his curve. Does he have a slider? Oh, he started throwing a slider a bunch. He hadn't really thrown it a lot heading into this year. So let's see how it plays. So he's got the four seam at 10.1% swinging strike, which ain't too shabby. The changeup's at 19.5%, but with a 42.2 O swing. And I think one of the things is his four seam gets a 25.1% O swing, which is below league average, but for a fastball, that's really good. Yeah. His slider's at 29.7. And 13% swinging strike. So it's not great, but his curveball and sinker are such abysmal swinging strike rate, 6.6, 6.3, that any pitch that he can take that kind of like, to replace that is phenomenal. And so now essentially he's going with mostly 3 pitches, and those pitches, the lowest swinging strike rate any of those pitches has is 10.1%. You know, and so that's a very different story. Yeah, absolutely. Kudos to people who picked him up a while ago. He definitely looks really good. It looks like he definitely made some key changes, and that'll be intriguing. He's definitely a guy like, you know, I don't know if he's available, probably not in 15 teamers, but looking to next year, he might be a guy who doesn't have a really nice, like maybe full season profile or has had enough questions in the past around his profile that, that he falls under the radar a little bit, but definitely intriguing.
100% with you on that one. Cause he had flashes of it late last year too, which kind of, at least in like draft holds and stuff, people kind of paid a little attention late, but in redrafts, no one was super aggressive on, and it's starting to show its face again. So he's kind of doing what Patrick Sandoval did at the end of last year. Now he's doing it this year. Now we'll see if he has a better encore than Patrick Sandoval has had this year. We'll see how that one plays out next draft season. All right, next up, Nick Martinez picked up 52 leagues, as high as $61. He's been the closer for the most part for the Padres. He's picked up 4 saves in his last 5 outings, which has been impressive. In the month of August, 2.12 ERA, 15 Ks and 17 innings pitched. Everyone's gonna say, "Oh, but Josh Hader got a save last week." I watched that live. He was so close from getting yanked again. He came in because a lot of lefties are on the mound, and Martinez has been used a lot, so.
Yeah, he looked bad yesterday, too.
Take that with a grain of salt, is all I'm going to say. Is I still think it's Nick Martinez's job, like at least like 75 to 80% of the time. So I wouldn't be on Nick Martinez, who, if he was available, I was putting bids in for sure, because I still believe it's him, not Josh Hader.
Yeah, so did I. I don't know who it is, honestly. I mean, I'm looking at Martinez. So since he joined the bullpen – You know, I thought he was really, that he'd really been good during, you know, during that period of time. And he has been, like, not skills wise, but he's got a 2.12 ERA. You know, he's been up 28 hits, 9 walks. So 37 walks and hits in 34 innings. So really good there. But, you know, 250 BABIP, really low home run per fly ball rate. You know, which could be something that, you know, kind of sticks with him, but only 6.62 Ks per nine, 2.38. I mean, that is all to say, I thought he was the closer. He's looked good from the pitching from the bullpen this year. Whether or not he's still the closer or not, I'm not entirely sure. I mean, they've got some good arms in that bullpen. Luis Garcia is good. I mean, Robert Suarez. I don't know what he's done the last couple weeks, but when I looked at him a couple weeks ago, he looked really nasty too. So there are some arms that they can go to there. It'll be interesting to see who gets that next save opportunity when it's a clear save opportunity.
Yeah, it is interesting. There are options. I think it's Nick's job for now, but anything can happen. And plus, they haven't even been good to begin with. So it's like maybe just tone it down all around and see what takes place in that grand scheme of things. But yeah, we'll see. I think it was a worthwhile bid this week, as long as you weren't going too crazy on the bidding. I tweeted it out Saturday night that it's Nick Gordon week because it is 7 right-handed pitchers on the docket for the Twins, and even one was Garrett Cole, and I didn't care. Well, that game got rained out on Tuesday, so I'll have a doubleheader, I'm assuming, on Wednesday, so I'll see how that one plays out. But Nick Gordon was added in 51 leagues as high as $41. If you're in my league, I've already had him for a while because I'm a sucker for Nick Gordon, right or wrong, I don't know. But since August 1st, hitting .295 with 2 homers, 3 stolen bases, 10 doubles. So like the production of 20 RBIs for Nick Gordon, just going to throw all that out there, striking out less than 20% of the time. We've talked about him before. The dude can hit. It was just playing time. This was the perfect storm this week. So what's your thoughts on Nick Gordon?
Yeah, I think we talked about him last week, but really like a lot. I mean, I think the challenge has been the production. Like he's done really, really well, but he hasn't necessarily produced. But you look at, like, you know, the batting average is really good. He's striking out, like, you know, right around league average. But when you're striking out right around league average, you've got a ground ball rate that's under league average. You make, you know, about league average contact. And then your barrel rate, you have 25 barrels for a 10.7% barrel rate. I mean, that's really good. And the thing about those 25 barrels, he's only got 6 home runs. You know, 6 home runs in 25 barrels, that's got to be one of the lower rates in the league, honestly. And so if you talk about a guy who, we'll see what happens end of the year again, he's getting playing time. I think he'll be really good. But looking towards next year, you know, as a guy who is kind of putting it together, he bulked up a little bit from last year. I know he had some digestive issues that were challenging him health-wise. But one more year away from that, you know, adding a little muscle, you know. Who knows? I mean, we could be looking at a, you know, 15-15 type of guy here with a full run of playing time. If not, you know, potentially a little bit better than that. So yeah, it's nice.
Yeah, I'm liking what we're seeing. I'm hoping eventually, like, starting next year, he's a regular player, but we'll see. They might keep platooning him, but the talent's there. Talent's definitely there. Wants a higher, not top, but a higher level prospect. So we'll see how that one pans out for sure. Yasmani Grandal back in the news here. Picked up in 48 leagues as high as $22. He returned from the IL. Got a couple hits, and he's hit safely in 3 or 4 games. He's out for 2 tonight. It's just been a bad year. 4 homers on the year, hitting .205. He's got the OBP because that's what he does, but it's just been a horrific season. I dropped him everywhere after the last injury. I didn't even try to pick him up, Toby. I was like, I'm done. If he goes off, he goes off. I can't do it. I'd rather go with Nick Fortes or some other guy. Give me Elias Diaz this week in Coors, something along those lines. I can't do this Yasmani Grandal thing anymore. What are your thoughts on him?
Yeah, I had some lower-level bids on him a couple weeks back in 15-teamers. God, what a just an absolutely bizarre year. For him, the home runs have dried up. You know, the walk rate's still there, 12.3%. The strikeout rate is lower than it has been since 2013 for him. You know, he's making a lot of contact, but he's only got the 10 barrels at 4.9%. So you got to think, like, injuries are probably at play. You know, he is 33, almost 34. But I was interested in him just because, you know, even though he hasn't played well, like, we saw what he did after he came off, ago today, or not today, but like 1 year ago, like he came off the IL and it was just absolute fire for the rest of the season, like league winner. And you're not going to get that at the catching position that often. So it's one of those situations where you just kind of are like, you want to know something, you just got to throw this year out and hope he can regain some of that glory. And, you know, it hasn't happened yet, but I can see why people would have been in on that for sure.
Yeah, no, I don't blame anybody. I guess I was just the scorn. We talk about, you know, recency bias and all the biases all the time. I just like, because I was all in on Grandal this year. I was in on him last year and it paid off. And I think what kept me in on him so long this year was last year he started out horrible. And then all of a sudden, it wasn't even just that last run you mentioned. It was like the whole second half of the season, he started just hitting. Like, he was great. He's one of the best catchers in baseball. And I'm thinking, okay, he had a slow start again this year. He'll figure it out. You know, he's banged up, whatever. He hadn't figured it out yet. Now, like you said, could he? Yes, he's just that talented. That whole White Sox team is frustrating when it comes to fantasy. Just going to throw that out there. There's so much talent on that team that just disappoints time and time again. So, I don't know. I agree. I get why people did it. I couldn't stomach it anymore. Unless, like you said, you got him for like a buck or two, sure. But there was zero chance I was spending any high dollars amounts on just Johan Grandal this week. Trevor Rogers picked up in 46 leagues as high as $80. Now, this one's fun because we know what he can do. It's been a very bad year. Rehab starts were very strong for Trevor Rogers, and his return against the Rays, 6 innings, 5 hits, 1 run, 5 strikeouts, looked very good. Looked Trevor, old version of Trevor Rogers, getting swings and misses. Looks good. Are you a believer? Are you back in, Toby?
Am I a believer? I mean, it's hard to say, honestly. I can definitely see why people were in on him. I mean, there's reason to believe. I mean, there's so much that's gone wrong this year, right? The 333 BABIP, the 66% strand rate, you know, he's walking a ton of guys, but honestly, like 9.9%, the walk rate isn't all that dramatically different from, or like the walk skills aren't all that dramatically different. It's just been kind of the ball falling in and the home run rate being much higher. He was at 0.41 last year. So, you know, just a little bit of regression from last year coming into play. Again, he's in a great ballpark. I would be playing him for matchups, but yeah, I mean, yeah, it's tough to say. It's just tough to say, like, after a guy has a season like he's had. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just really hard to say.
He's almost like the Yasmani Grandal of starting pitchers.
Yeah.
Everyone was in on him. Everyone was in on him, and it was just so hard to watch. It was just so lost. It's kind of how Blake Snell was a couple years ago. Like, where did this talent go? But at the same time, like Blake Snell, you wouldn't be surprised if he all of a sudden found it again. Like, next year, he could be that next year's Robbie Ray. He could go, like, around pick 180 or 200 and return top 50 value once again or something. Like, no one would be surprised by that. So,
yeah. Yeah, and the one thing I'd say is, like, he's a good example of, like, this is why it's so hard with younger pitchers, you know?
Oh, yeah, I need to see it more than once type thing.
Yeah, I mean, he rolls in there, and he's got that 0.41 home runs per nine. And then it's like, oh, well, you know, then the walk rate isn't as scary because of that. But, I mean, also the swinging strike rate's so high, like, everything's, I don't know. It's just one of those things where you just never know what's going to happen. You know, you just never, I know that's not helpful at all, but it's just like, I want to see, it's like, towards the end of the year, did he fade at all? Like last year, like, was there anything noticeable in that realm for him? Let me see where he was at, like, his last five. So his Z contact. All right. So, like, Z contact was at 85% as a 5-game rolling average ending September 28th. 35.50 swing. Now the K rate was at 27%. Swinging strike rate was down. I mean, his swinging strike rate was way down from where it had been previously, but his walk rate was down too. So it's not like there was any fading towards the back end there. I mean, it's just one of those things, man. It's brutal and he's your what? You know, your sixth round pick, fifth round pick. So you're throwing him out there, you know, you're putting him out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's either your SP2 or he's your SP1 if you waited on pitching. Like, there's just so many scenarios where that stung in a big, big way. But that happens. That happens. We've all done stuff like, I've done plenty of that. Don't you worry. But it's one of those that I'll still be intrigued on the bounce back. But you said it's when you're taking early pitching, almost early players, but definitely pitching hitters, you can kind of play with a little more. But early pitching, I need like a pedigree. Like I need to see some stuff. Like I'm kind of cautious in my picks. That's how I roll. I know Toby similarly is. But like I need to see if I'm going to put that high pick out there. I need to know you've done it a few times. Like this is one of fluke thing, especially with pitchers. Like you said, is they roll out there and now other teams have books on these guys. They have a whole offseason to look into this guy. Like now they know what he's got. Now maybe he made changes in the offseason for the good or the bad. We don't know. But it's a different animal than just like this dude came out of the minors with his electric stuff that no one's seen in the bigs. And now you have to try to figure him out. Now they have fed a whole book on him. And that changes a lot in the big league level. So
man.
Now it's time for Trevor Rogers to change back. What happened now?
Imagine being Tyler Rogers and you pick him up and you're like, maybe he's the closer now for the Brewers. And then
Taylor Rogers.
Tyler Rogers on the Giants. There's too many Rogers, but. Yeah. Then he gives up
the Rogers neighborhood.
Then he gives up four runs in the bottom of the 10th at Coors to lose the game.
Who hit the walk off granny?
No, it was a 3-run homer by Randall Grichuk. I was hoping it was going to be like Tolia or
that's what I was
Bouchard
hoping
or something like that. But
that'd have been great. Oh wow. We'll get a couple more in here before we hit up our ads for the week. Bubba Thompson picked up in 43 leagues as high as $31. And like, I get why in some 12s he was on the wire, but I'm just curious to the thought process of why people waited till now. Dude hit 295, 10 stolen bases, second. This is since he came up August 4th. That's second to only one Jake McCarthy in steals since the All-Star break. One homer, but we knew you're getting him for average and stolen bases. And he's done that pretty much out the gate. So, and he's been hotter of late. I get it, but this is what you were going for. So, yes, pick him up. But I'm kind of curious, like, you missed out on probably the best run you're going to get with him. Why are you going? Like, I'm just confused on why now, if not before. That's my answer, my question, I guess. Yeah. But what's your thoughts on Bubba Thompson?
Yeah, before that, Bubba, you want to know how bad it's gotten for Spencer Torkelson?
He gets sent back down. He go over 4 Ks.
The Angels intentionally walked Harold Castro, putting the lead runner, whatever you call that thing, I can't remember, on second base to pitch to Torkelson, and he struck out.
Remember when we saw Tork in the fall league and he was supposed to be the next best thing?
Oh man!
He's still going to be really good. It's been rough because he was in the same breath as J-Rod and Witt and all these guys draft season, and they've all done what they've done, obviously. And then you got Torque, who's gone back to the minors. He's come back to the bigs. It's just been a back and forth. Like, what happened is elite, the number one overall pick. What happened? That's baseball. They're young. It can change. But it's been tough to watch because the dude is a hitter. He's a very good hitter, but it's been rough.
Yeah.
Rough for him.
Totally. Yeah, well, you nailed it on Bubba Thompson. I mean, check this out. Dude's hitting 295.
Yeah.
He's got a 30% strikeout rate. He's got a 431 BABIP, but hold up, 57% ground ball rate, 16.7% hard hit rate. But check this out. He's got a 431 BABIP with an 18.8% infield fly ball rate, which is just like
that's atrocious.
Insane. So like essentially none of those are hits, right? Yep. So you take that like out of the equation for his BABIP, and his BABIP's essentially like it's got to be like well over 500 for balls that he puts in play. His O swing's bad. His contact's not even that good.
Yeah.
I mean, you've definitely gotten the best out of him, but he's doing what you got him to do, right?
Exactly.
I mean, he's doing what you got him to do. And so
it's just like, I hope my sentiments is the nice way I was trying to say is I hope you're not late to the party because you got the steals. Like, this is one of those, are you paying for that? And you're not going to get it like this. And maybe he still goes off and he gets 10 more steals this month. Anything's possible because they're going to play him. Like, there's no question, but it's just one of those that feels like, ew. Like that kind of stings a little.
Totally. Yeah. And that's why that's totally what I meant when you like killed it on that is like, this is why, like, it's not like he's earned any of this. Right. Yes. Like, but you just hope to catch that lightning in a bottle, you know, and that's what you've done. If you've had Bubba Thompson and it's glorious.
It's been great. So we'll see. Hopefully it keeps it going for you, but little pessimistic on this one. We'll see how it plays out, though. Nick Prado, he was picked up in 42 leagues as high as $52. He's been playing every day with Vinny on the IL. But let me tell you, Vinny P is rehabbing and should be back hopefully this week. Over 10 games, Prado hitting 286 with four home runs, striking out nearly 36% of the time. But he's looked a lot better, a lot more comfortable. Another young player that started out slow, started to get it going. This Royals team is going to be a blast going forward. But my only concern is when Vinny P comes back, Prado wasn't playing every day back then. So how does that play out now? Because Melendez and is going to be outfield maybe. Salvi catching DH. Maybe they sneak in Vinny P there. They'll make it work, but I'm still curious.
Yeah. I mean, excuse me. He's quintessential, super low batting average, high power guy. I mean, there's no other way to say it. Like, everything about him screams super low batting average. He's got a 32.5% ground ball rate, which again is great for home runs, horrible for BABIP. 53% fly ball rate. Now it'll be interesting if that line drive rate creeps up a little bit. He's at 36.3% for his K rate. The contact's not good at about 67%, but it's not like, I mean, it's pretty bad, but they also have him projected for about a 32.8% K rate, which I could see him being serviceable, like in that, not necessarily Gallo role, but that like 220 to 230 guy who over 600 plate appearances can definitely hit, you know, 30 home runs. He's got a 14.1% barrel rate, 12 barrels out of 85 batted ball events, you know, so that's legit. So guy with 30 home run power, you know, going to hit anywhere from 180 to 220 probably for his career if he keeps up what he's doing right now. But again, like you're just hoping he faces Lucas Giolito like every game, you know, that's what you're hoping for. But
yeah, it'll be interesting. Like, I love Prado's overall future. He's got some power speed, as you mentioned, but I want to see it, like, is he going to revert back to not playing every day? That's my only concern. They should have him out there all the time. We'll see. But you never know with the Royals, and they have Michael Taylor hitting fourth and fifth right now. So who knows what they're going to do. Couple more here. Spencer Steer got brought up by the Reds to play shortstop because Barrero was not cutting it. Steer picked up in 35 leagues as high as $34. He might be a fun one to add later on. And he's got a couple hits in his early go here, but in the minors, hitting 274 with 23 home runs. A lot of pop, 30 doubles. He's productive, 80 runs scored, 75 RBIs. Showing some serious promise throughout the minors for the Reds, getting his chance in Great American Small Park for September. Another middle infield option, kind of like if you couldn't get Gunnar Henderson, maybe you get this guy for a buck. Who knows? So what's your thoughts on Spencer Steer, who I think a lot more people might be talking about coming this weekend?
Yeah, he was towards the top of lists and 15 teamers. I think I had him right around JD Davis, but I think he went for a little bit higher. Yeah, I mean, definitely really interesting. I mean, even if you look at his, you know, what he's done so far, he's got a 90% contact rate. I mean, it's like 20, what is he? He's at 12 plate appearances. So just take it with a grain of salt, but 90% contact rate, 100% in zone contact rate, you know, 29.6 O swing. They do have him. I mean, the Bat X has him at 21.5% for that K rate, 7.7 for the walk rate. He's got that one barrel, you know, in his seven batted ball event. So it gives him a outrageously 14.3 barrel percentage. So very small sample, but you know, he's playing in probably the best hitting ballpark in all of baseball, maybe outside of Coors. But like, I mean, there's argument to be made that Great American Small Park is better, you know, from just a pure hitting and power perspective than Coors is, definitely from a power perspective. He's got that, you know, they've got a reason to kind of run him out there and see what he can do. They've got a nice little schedule this week, the Reds do. So, you know, playing three games against Chicago is never bad. So, yeah, I can definitely see it. He was on my list. Intriguing. Try to catch lightning in a bottle. You know the drill.
Yeah, some other guys like Toglia, you mentioned, Mike, from Colorado, got the call. Corey Dickerson, I was all in on that this week. Seven righties, he's been playing very well of late versus righties. That was like a gimme pick to me, and he's already got two or three hits on Tuesday night here. Anybody else like Brendan Donovan? Because the Cardinals have a great schedule. Donovan went deep tonight. Anybody else you're really looking to target, or do you want to go on to our pickups of the week?
Yeah, John Schreiber, Red Sox, looks like he's the closer there. He was my second after Hergett in places and Yeah, I mean, he got two saves in a row to finish off the week.
He was picked up in 29 leagues for as high as 21, so he'll be available in a lot of leagues next week. So be ready for that one, folks.
Yeah. Lane Thomas has been really crushing it.
Yep.
Yeah, and he had seven games this week, including four, you know, to start the week. So that was really nice. So those were kind of some of the other guys that I was after.
All right, let's talk about who you got, though. Give us some of your fab results for the week.
All right. All right, let's see what we got. All right, fab results. Oh, Colton Wong's day-to-day. What the heck?
Oh, man, really?
Yeah, that's what it says. I thought he was just pulled for a lefty. Hopefully it's nothing big. Added Eduardo Escobar, dropped Elijuris Montero with Brent Beatty pretty much out for, I think he's out for the rest of the year, at least the regular season. Escobar seems to be in line for pretty much all those third base starts. They've got the Pirates for three this week, and then they've got, who do they have? They've got Pirates for three, then they've got the Marlins for three, but they're missing Sandy, so they got Cabrera, Lopez, and Lizardo. So still a little tough, but the next week they've got the Cubs and the Pirates, seven games. So I expect a little bit of a home run tear from Eduardo Escobar. Was actually very, very disappointed he did not hit a home run tonight, but we'll let it slide. Elijuris Montero did hit a home run, so thanks, Elijuris, for never playing and hitting a home run after I drop you everywhere. Jimmy Herget, I added him, dropped Garrett Whitlock. Whitlock's actually been really good, but it doesn't look like he's going to get saves. You know, he's been coming in the seventh and pitching two innings. Kind of a bridge to Barnes or Schreiber, so kind of moved on from him there. JD Davis, I added three lefties to start the week against the Dodgers. Not the best three lefties to go, but he hit a bomb on yesterday, so that was at least nice. Dropped Andrew Benintendi. He's out for the rest of the year, it looks like. I didn't know that when I dropped him, but I think Boone had some season. And when I saw that, I was like, man, even if and I don't even know what kind of matchups you're going to get. You're not giving me home runs. You're not giving me steals. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Am I gone?
You just came back. Can you start over, please? You went out like...
Where did I go out? On Escobar or Benny?
At your very first guy. At Escobar.
At Escobar.
I was trying to flag you down the whole time.
Well, I'm looking at my picks. Unfortunately, I'm not looking at the video right now. So Eduardo Escobar, he's got a run at third base. The Mets have a really nice schedule. They play Pittsburgh, I think, seven times in the next 2 weeks. They also have the Cubs thrown in there as well. So going with him, Brent Beatty's injured. Herget was my top closer ad. Dropped Whitlock. That was a little bit of a tough decision, but he hasn't been getting the closer role. You know, he's been pitching the seventh and eighth. Added JD Davis, three lefties to start off the week. I think five total this week. Dropped Andrew Benintendi. He was injured. I didn't know if he was going to be out for the year, but I figured, you know, Boone said something about how he might be back this year, and I moved on from him at that point. And then added Elvis Andrews, dropped Tony Kemp, $3, $1 backup. Andrews hit that two-run bomb, so he's good on my book. Added Dermis Garcia, who's been playing pretty much every day for the A's, has a little bit of pop. Dropped Evan Longoria, who has been playing intermittently and not well. And then my ad of the week, Victor Caratini, added him in a bunch of places. I think three of my four big leagues because Wilson Contreras is injured. He hit a three-run bomb. He's got a beautiful schedule. So those are the guys I added there. I lost out on Corbin Carroll 39-39. I'm in this one league, but I'm happy about that because, you know, I missed out on May. I missed out on Corbin, but I'm so glad I have so much money to spend the rest of the way. Honestly, like, I just feel like I'm in a better place. And I really love the scattershot approach of putting your eggs in a ton of baskets and hoping some of them hit, then really putting them all in one basket, especially for a short amount of time. Picked up Michael Tolia. He's been playing every day, switch hitter in the outfield for the Rockies. Dropped Elijuris Montero, $16, $7 backup. Added Schreiber, dropped Eovaldi, $9 bid, $7 backup. Added Sam Bouchard, dropped Benintendi, $6, no backup. Added Jace Peterson, dropped Aristides Aquino, who gave me that grand slam as a parting gift. Added Victor Caratini, dropped Robbie Grossman. Then we added Jimmy Hergit, $14, $4 backup, dropped Luis Garcia, added Michael Tolia, dropped Franchi Cordero, added Sean Bouchard, dropped Elijah Montero, added John Schreiber, dropped Andrew Benintendi. Next league, added Jimmy Hergit, $16, $6 backup, dropped Zach Davies, who's actually been really good this year, but he faces some really tough lineups the next 3 weeks, so I'm not interested in that. Added Michael Tolia, dropped Nathan Eovaldi, 13-5. Added Jace Peterson, dropped Elijah Montero, 4. A $1 backup, added JD Davis, dropped Franchi Cordero, 3. No backup, added Victor Caratini, $1, 0 backup. In my OC, so 12-team league, I really botched it this week, but I added Keston Hira, dropped Jorge Polanco, added Jimmy Hergit, dropped Reed Detmers. In TGFBI, I added Keston Hira for $22, runner-up of 11, dropped Sir Anthony Dominguez, added John Schreiber, Elias Diaz, dropped Nick Fortes and Luis Garcia. And then finally, in BARF, I added Michael Tolia, dropped Elijah Montero, added Sean Bouchard, dropped Christopher Morel, added Jack Sawinski, dropped Jorge Polanco, added Giovanni Gallegos, dropped Jonathan Hernandez.
Toby churning and burning over there. Love it. Yeah. Love it. In my OC, my first one, added Gunnar Henderson, dropped Brett Beatty. This is why 12-teamers make me laugh. $31 is what I wanted for a runner-up of 6 for Gunnar Henderson. Remember, he went as high as 800 and something in another league. I got Nick Prado for $4, dropped Derek Hall. That was not even my top option there, but that's what I got. And I added Rafael Montero just for $1 because and now Presley wasn't even back on Tuesday like he's supposed to. We'll see if he's back Wednesday. But as long as Montero's got a chance to close, I'm interested. Dropped Aroldis Chapman. And then I added Ken Waldichuk, dropped Cutter Crawford. Waldichuk was like my fourth option there too, but just kind of putting up $1-$2 bids to see how that one plays out for now. I like the strikeout upside from Waldichuk, so I was kind of putting some bids in on that. Tough matchups this week, though, so be ready. He has the Braves tomorrow, so not good. Next OC, grad Corey Dickerson for $3, dropped Brett Beatty, runner-up of $1, added Jose Suarez. This is one of the leagues I didn't have him forever. Got him for $3, dropped Cutter Crawford. I did add Kyle Bradish here, did not start him, thank God. $3, added Nick Prado for $2, dropped Kerry Carpenter, so a lot of small winners on that one. Corbin Carroll went for $6.01 in that league, runner-up of $33, if that makes you feel any better. Next OC, here's the one I told you about, Toby. This is just, everybody get your popcorn ready. I got Corbin Carroll for $1, dropped Derek Hall, no runner-up bid. Got Emmanuel Rivera, dropped Tyler Naquin, 1-0. Grabbed Rafael Montero, dropped Joey Gallo, 1-0. So that was a fun league. And I got Corbin Carroll for $1 when Gunnar Henderson still went for 114. Bubba Thompson went for 31. Monty Margot went for 31. Some of these leagues, Toby. Some of these leagues.
That's fascinating.
Yeah, I thought I had no chance. I had like barely any money, so I just put a bunch of $1 bids in there. It's like, keep them honest. Yeah, shocked.
Fascinating.
In my last OC, the one where I had the most money left, got Gunnar Henderson for 37, dropped Jared Walsh, runner-up of 6, added Corbin Carroll, dropped Brett Beatty, 37-7, added Nick Gordon, dropped Kerry Carpenter, 12-1, added Pete Fairbanks, dropped Cutter Crawford, 3-0, added Nick Martinez, dropped Derek Hall, 3-2. So I had extra money to spend. I want to make sure I got some of those bats I wanted and paid a little extra for them. One of my OCQs, got Clay Holmes, dropped Aaron Civale, 12-2, added Corey Dickerson, dropped Brandon Belt, added Emmanuel Rivera, dropped Cutter Crawford, added Rafael Montero, dropped Nate Eovaldi. Barf, as we're battling near the top every game, a bunch of $1 bids because everyone outbid me. Emmanuel Rivera for $1, Evan Longoria for $1, AJ Puck for $1, Kyle Bradish for $1. So that was my week in a nutshell there because didn't have as much money as everybody else. And TGFBI, Corey Dickerson dropped Brett Beatty 4-0. Nick Prado for $3. Jacob Junis for $1. Dropped Alex Wood. Luis Patino and his two-step for $1 as well. So a lot of small bids for the week. Nothing super crazy on all of it. As a couple big ones in the leagues I had, but a lot of $1, $2, $3 bids. That's where we're at right now. And so it's not always my top priorities. Like, I didn't want Kyle Bradish, but I also understood talent could be there. So he's like my fourth or fifth guy in the queue. That's where the dice landed this week. So that's the breaks this time of the year. All right. We have two listener questions for us here. First off, our buddy, Dave Petroziello, he's got one for us. And he says, so I thought I could skimp a bit on pitching in the main after taking Cole and Alcantara. I realize even with those two, I should have got at least one more starter in the top 100. As such, I'm kind of skimpy now. This week, I dumped Savali and Plesak and Pepio, and I got the three guys half I wanted in Walichuk, Assad, and Adrian Martinez. How viable are they? And I know Walichuk has an unfortunate matchup with the Braves this week, but at least it's in Oakland. So how do you like the outlooks of Walichuk, Assad, and Adrian Martinez is the question.
Wow. Famous last words are always, I thought I had enough pitching in the main event. Yeah, so Assad has a 1.6 whip, six strikeouts in 10 innings, a 0% K minus walk. I mean, actually, the Z contact at 76.7 is pretty good. 10.2% swinging strike rate, but his K per nine and walk per nine are the same at 5.4. He's got a 94% strand rate. So I imagine like six or seven earned runs in his next start, whenever that is. Although maybe he already pitched. I don't know. I don't think it looks good for Assad. Walderschuck? Can you hear me?
I can hear you now, yes.
You can hear me, but I can't hear you now.
Lovely.
All right, there we go. Now I can hear you. You can hear me?
Beautiful. We're almost done.
We're almost there, guys. Almost there. How do you spell Walderschuck?
K strikeout, strikeout, KK strikeout.
How is that? Really?
I don't know. It's Walderschuck, I think. Just guessing.
Oh, Walderschuck. Ken Walderschuck. Did he throw today?
No, he throws tomorrow. Cole Irvin threw today.
Walderschuck has a 1.93 whip, 17.4% walk rate. But I will say the first pitch strike rate is really good. The zone percentage is fine. And the O swing is better than league average. So that's just really bad luck. So I'd much prefer Walderschuck. I'd much prefer Walderschuck based on everything I'm looking compared to Assad. He actually looks like he could be a decent pitcher here.
That makes me feel better for the moves I made.
Yeah, and then what's the other Walderschuck, and who's the last guy?
Give me a second. I just got rid of it. This is a great show we got going on here.
I know. This is only the highest quality here.
Yep.
I'm Bubba in the bat flip. Me going in and out of reception, keeping you on that seat. Cliffhangers.
Yeah, it's cliffhangers right. Left and right. Now I can't even freaking. There's Dave. Let me find his answer here for us. It was, you have Walderschuck, Assad, and Martinez of Oakland. Okay. Adrian Martinez, I believe.
Adrian. Yeah.
Yes, Adrian Martinez.
Adrian Martinez, I mean, he's fine. He looks fine. Yeah.
Fine.
Like, you know, yeah, I mean, he's got like a 12.2% K minus walk. He's got an 11.7 swinging strike, which is nice. 32.2 O swing, which is nice. 84.6 Z contact, which is nice. So that's all nice. Seems good. Yeah. Yeah. So I think that's fine. And maybe he's even getting better.
Walderschuck's the guy. That's the guy I'm planting my flag on. Just hopefully the Braves don't beat him up too bad. Or if they do, we get him for real cheap next week. Because I like the strikeout upside from the kid. So that's where I'm going.
I like it.
Joe G, he's got a question for us here. Probably going to drop Brandon Rogers very soon. Only six more home games after this week and been very cold. Who to pick up? Luis Garcia of the Nats? Luis Rengifo? Spencer Steer? Ketel Marte? I'm guessing that's who he said. Mixed roto. Home runs and RBIs are needed.
Say them one more time.
Luis Garcia of the Nats. Luis Rengifo. Spencer Steer. Maybe. Ketel Marte. I'd say Steer or Marte.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. For sure Ketel Marte, but I'd say Steer Marte as well. I mean, Rengifo's been playing really well and the power is up. And he hits in the middle of the lineup. But I think he's also been injured a little bit. So, you know, it's like I don't think he actually has that much power, but he's on a little bit of a run. Luis Garcia, there's just not a lot there, I don't think, at least at this point. There's some batting average, but not going to be a lot of RBI, probably not many home runs rest of the way. I'd be glad if I got two.
Yep, I'm with you. I think Steer in Great American Small Park is very enticing, but Cattell's the dude you want. If he's out there in your league, that'd be the option A for sure. All right, Toby, we're going to wrap it up there. Another fun Phil Fab recap, week 23 in the books, about a month, four periods to go. Thoughts, Toby.
Yeah, apologies for all the technical difficulties. I hope that wasn't too annoying for people, but we're trying our best. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
But yeah, those of you on the West Coast, stay cool. I mean, it's gnarly out there right now, and best of luck on all your teams.
Yep, should be a fun one. Enjoy it. Hopefully your pitchers don't get shelled or get the bullpen to shell for you, as we experienced live on air. Hopefully Jake McCarthy breaks the stolen base record for the second half of the season, and all kinds of more fun stuff. Nick Gordon, Corey Dickerson, C. Dick Dong. I want to see that this week. So let's make it happen. Check out Toby on Twitter at BatFlipCrazy. I'm at BD Entrick. We'll be back with you guys next week with another edition of Bubba and the Batflip. Catch y'all later.
Hey, Drew Scott here, and I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price, and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.